I considered the COI, the cost of inaction, way too high. I made it so real that I would actually rather died than chosen to go back and be miserable. Because I did this eulogy exercise where if my obituary was right now and I saw what would have been said, I was definitely not even close to satisfied.
We are Gold Ivy. Our mission is to empower you to own and unleash your truth. Stories of resiliency are gold, and ivy grows in hard places. Those hard places are what create space for light to shine through. You decide what works for your daily life and how to transform our lessons into your gold. This is Ivy Unleashed, a Gold Ivy production. Welcome back to Ivy Unleashed. Thank you so much for being here. You're going to be really happy you tuned in today because this episode is huge. We have someone in front of us that is a very powerful person, has a wild story, is a marathoner, is an author, a TEDx speaker, has been on big stages. But what we love the most about Craig Siegel is that he is a down-to-earth person who's really trying to serve the people on this planet. And we have so many questions for Craig. Craig, welcome to Ivy Unleashed.
Wow, what an intro. Ladies, I've been looking forward to this for quite some time, ever since the first time you and I connected. Literally no place in the world I'd rather be. Let's have some fun. Let's get nuts. Let's dive in.
I love it. If you're not watching on YouTube, Craig is in New York City, correct?
Correct.
We've got the river behind him. We got boats coming. The sun is literally like a beam of light is coming over his head right now, like a little angel. Which is funny because we want to talk so much about spirituality today. There's a lot to dig into. So we want to get to it. Craig, you have a story from Wall Street, which sounds like money, success, what a lot of people strive for, right? And then a rock bottom story to where you are now. We would love to get into that about where you were, how you got into Wall Street, and then why and how you got out of it.
Yeah, so I basically lived two lives. One was prior to the pandemic, my Wall Street life, and then everything after. Let me take you a little bit back so you guys can have some context. So after college, I wasn't one of those people that knew exactly what I wanted to do. I was a little bit lost in the wilderness with no compass, but I was ambitious and I was always infatuated with stocks. And so I lived in New York. And so I went to Wall Street and I was kind of a fish out of water and I was looking to find confidence and so forth. Here I was, this young kid, big dreams. And there was a lot of people that were older than me that were doing really, really well. And so I wanted to kind of bridge the gap on where I was, where I wanted to be. So somehow, some way, probably divine, I stumbled upon personal development at the same time that I got to Wall Street. And it was at that moment that my life totally changed. And I was just so fascinated with where I was not an indication of where I could be. I could actually reprogram my mindset. I could build confidence. I could change what I associate pain and pleasure to. I could develop skills for communication, to develop rapport, and everything in between. And so I started to become very successful on Wall Street relatively quickly. And I put the word successful in quotations because I think everybody has a different definition of success. Back then, I was motivated by money and status and all that stuff. And I wouldn't change a thing because at that time of life, I was probably about 24 years young, maybe 25. I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't have mentors and stuff like that. And Wall Street was kind of that vessel for me to climb the ladder and really find myself and assume an identity. And I spent 13 years there. I left the stock thing for a little bit, started my own business, which is a little bit different. But all in all, the whole Wall Street story, although success in regards to materialistic things, very unfulfilling, a lot of stress, unpredictability, and pretty soon it stopped becoming fun. And my soul began to contract as opposed to expand. And I was so invested in this story, this narrative that I created. I think a lot of us struggle with this, that I'm a Wall Street guy. I'll always make this amount of money. I'll have toxic relationships. And this is just it for me. And I became a bit depressed, for lack of better words. And a few years back, right before the pandemic, a bunch of things kind of happened at once that probably was the cause of that rock bottom that you described earlier. I just got out of a toxic relationship, which is never fun. My best friend in the world, my dad, had just gotten diagnosed with cancer. He's still battling. And even though I had my own business and I was making money, it wasn't exactly like I was waking up on fire for life. And it got really, really dark. Like I was drinking a little bit more than I like to admit. And I really lacked purpose. And then all of a sudden, I started running. And that was pivotal for me because few years back, you couldn't pay me to run straight up. I always like to work out and stuff like that, but running, what are you nuts? All of a sudden, I'm paying to run these marathons and I start running them pretty fast and getting good at them. And that season showed me, number one, it gave me purpose when I was looking for something. But I think most importantly, it showed me that I could be successful at something that I didn't necessarily have experience in. And then fast forward the pandemic, I mean, talk about a global awakening. I looked at that as an historic opportunity to just reassess. If not now, then when? I think a lot of us get caught in the mundane, you know, plugged into the matrix, specifically on Wall Street. I mean, if you're not going 300 miles an hour, you get run over. And so when I shut down my office for what I thought would be 2 weeks at the time, I just got really, really quiet and I just connected to the creator and I blocked out all the BS, the opponent, the ego, all that stuff. And it was at that moment that my connection was strong and I was able to draw upon divine inspiration, which comes from the creator, the best inspiration there is. And then it occurred to me that personal development, ever since I got to Wall Street, was an obsession of mine. I just didn't think I was worthy of turning that into a career till I realized this is much more than just a passion. This is my assignment. And so very quickly, I began to take messy action. And I put together a whole strategy, started my CLS brand, created this 10-lane highway with each lane representing a different way to make an impact, do business, and so forth. And then I had that one moment where the ego really came in strong. Can you do this? Who's going to want to listen to you? Imposter syndrome. And for me, I considered the COI, the cost of inaction, way too high. I made it so real that I would actually rather died than chosen to go back and be miserable. Because I did this eulogy exercise where if my obituary was right now and I saw what would have been said, I was definitely not even close to satisfied.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Every episode of Ivy Unleash is dedicated to empowering you to take ownership of your health. And what it really comes down to is prioritizing your mental health. We've both seen the beauty and growth that therapy can bring and are thrilled to partner with BetterHelp to allow you the opportunity to feel heard and seen by a professional. The National Alliance on Mental Health reports that 155 million people live in a designated mental health professional shortage area, and BetterHelp is working to close that gap. I've personally used BetterHelp and loved it because it was all online, making it super convenient. The biggest piece for me was how affordable it is. I was able to choose the therapist that met my needs. I came in with wanting to work on childhood trauma and anxiety, and it was unbelievable to see how many options I had with all the different backgrounds of therapists. With BetterHelp, you have access to a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness. And sometimes we can't see our own patterns and behaviors until we talk them out and get an unbiased perspective. It's really nice to have someone who doesn't know you and has the professional background to help you thrive in your daily life. It has made the world of a difference with every relationship in my life, including the one with myself. To get started, all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire about your needs and preferences and choose your therapist out of the options they give you. You can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. Also, you can switch therapists at no additional charge until you find the right fit for you. The best investment you can make is in yourself. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/goldivy. That's betterhelp.com/goldivy. Take the first step to inner peace and freedom today. And now back to the show.
So then I created a future obituary exercise, what I would want it to say. That was enough motivation for me to step into the unknown. And I got to work. And for the first time in my life, I was in absolute alignment. And I say very humbly, the brand took off, engaged, puppy, the whole thing, left Wall Street for good. And this is it for us in some capacity for the rest of our life. And we're just getting warmed up. Pretty long-winded answer.
Ooh, I love it.
Have a little context now.
This happens to me whenever someone's on, I get like teary-eyed and emotional because everything you just said, that can change someone's life. That story, so much of it, which we're about to unpack, but I'm just so thankful that you're here right now. I'm just wanting to send you gratitude for being able to express what you've been through like that. I know you've had a lot of practice. You've been on a lot of stages. You have a podcast, but what you just said is going to change people's lives. I'm so happy you're part of our platform. I'm going to say it 50 times this episode, but I'm so happy you were able to express what you went through and that you're here today.
And to give some examples.
Yeah.
I think we have a lot of people on this podcast and we talk a lot about do the scary thing. It's worth it. It's worth it. But how do you do that scary thing? How do you take the leap? And it's that motivation. It's the eulogy, like you just said. So I can't wait for this next hour to get into all of the strategies you use, because spirituality has been a huge thing for you. I'm curious how you've seen it shift from on Wall Street to, you said, connected to your creator. What in those moments, you know, what I'm trying to say is, how did you trust that voice and really exercise that relationship? What did that look like when you didn't know what to do and if this was the right move for you?
Yeah, great question. You know, I think that anything that you can obtain in the physical world, meaning this 1% reality, mm-hmm. and I say 1% because 99% of what's really happening here is beyond our logic. And what does it even mean to be a spiritual person or to be enlightened? Mm-hmm. It means that you believe that there's something else going on here besides just this computer screen, this coffee mug, and this physical stuff. And so, and I think that if people can grasp what I'm about to say, it'll change your entire life, and it's an eight-figure conversation. Investing in your consciousness is the greatest investment you can ever make. It opens every single gate, because anything that you can create in the 1% world will never bring you lasting fulfillment. Whether it's money, a relationship, a car, business, whatever the case may be, you'll have temporary moments of joy, absolutely. And you shouldn't frown upon those. Those are part of the human experience. But if you want to create lasting fulfillment, all the blessings, the money, the good news, all that stuff, you have to form a spiritual connection with whatever it is that you believe in. I don't want to put anything on anyone else. For me, it's creator, God. Some people might have something else, but that there's something bigger. That connection, that relationship is what creates lasting fulfillment. And I just became really spiritually curious. And I just, you know, I got to a point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of all this stuff. And I just, I had these inclinations that there was something more. Mm-hmm. And if you really break it down, like if you look at world experience or even certain miraculous things in the world, of course, there's something more going on here. And so I did a deep dive a few years back, and I'm still going really deep right now, specifically in my Kabbalah studies and so forth. And I really created a relationship and a connection, understood the rules of the system, just like gravity, where if you jumped out the window behind me that you're referring to before, you would go down even if you're a great person. There are certain universal laws that you can tap into where you can connect to the 99% world, and that creates lasting fulfillment.
Oh man, I am so intrigued by these laws. Can you give us an example of like one or two laws that you're like, okay, if you abide by this law, I've seen more abundance in my life, or I've had more fulfillment?
How many times do people do something with an agenda, specifically the need for recognition? You post something, you're hoping it gets likes. Mm-hmm. You have a big accomplishment, you can't wait to tell people about it, right? Every single time that you do that, that's a great way to become disconnected from the light. The light meaning the light of the creator. Now, on the flip side, when you share without an agenda, for example, I have no agenda on the conversation today. I'm not trying to sell anything, monetize. I just want to channel, have an unbelievable conversation with you ladies and hope that it helps somebody. That's it. And when you do it with that consciousness, that's when great things begin to happen. But when you do something with an agenda, even if you want to give to charity, which sounds great and it is, but you're doing it so that you can tell people and boast, oh, I give to charity and stuff like that, that's not the right consciousness. That's a good way to become disconnected. So that's just one example. They're infinite and so forth. But doing things, sharing your gifts that were given to you without an agenda, doing things not needing recognition and stuff like that is a great way to plug in and tap into the system.
Yeah, it's like, are you sharing for your ego or are you sharing to serve?
Yeah, what do you do when your ego shows up, Craig? Because like, it's human nature, right? We want, and Brooke and I are like words of affirmation people, and we'll have a great thing and we'll be like, oh, I want to tell someone, I want to like hear some feedback, you know? And so for us, we do recognize when that comes in. But how does the ego come in for you, and how do you kind of push it out of the way so that you can stay connected?
Yeah, so how deep do you ladies want to get today?
Let's go as deep.
I mean, what Andrew's referring to, just so you know, Craig, so we had this huge event we were telling you about last week, and I was telling Andrea the way there, you know, I have this strong desire, like it feels like God is pulling me so hard to get on stages and to speak and to share my story, but I haven't done it yet. Last week was the first time I did it. And so I don't have that feedback of like, this is right. This is where you're supposed to be. And then I'm in my head of, well, why do I even need that feedback if it feels so right for me? So that's kind of what she's referring to of the need for that outside validation. That ego is like, are you worthy of being here? Are you good at it? Is this what you should be doing?
Wait, so let's unpack that for a second. So you said you have a strong, strong desire to be on stages.
Mm-hmm.
How strong would you say your desire is for that from 1 to 10?
10. It won't shut up.
Have you not been looking for opportunities or?
I flown myself to New Jersey last year. We were at Rene Rodriguez's event. Like we're doing all the things. It was just last week was the first time of getting on a stage and really sharing my story in front of people, not through a podcast.
Okay. I would say that there's probably more that you can do, because if your desire is as strong as you say it is, mm-hmm. then there's just no way that you could be stopped, because when the creator acknowledges that your desire is that high, it will open up doors for you mm-hmm. and opportunities and relationships that you never saw coming. I mean, think about like Navy SEAL training, right? And Hell Week. Everyone knows what Hell Week is, right? Mm-hmm. So they're looking for people who want it so bad and are essentially willing to die for it. Otherwise, those soldiers, if they're not like that, they're actually in danger and they should probably go to a different army, mm-hmm. right? So I imagine that you believe that your desire is really strong, and I believe you too, but I bet there's even more that you can do to create your vessel, to crave even more desire. And I would even, I don't know what your relationship is, but you said you wanted to go deep. Like I would even ask the creator to show you the desire or help you activate the desire of the creator. When you crave the creator and the desire like that, the wisdom you crave, it'll reveal all its secrets. There's unlimited resources, but you have to activate your desire so much that there's no choice but to open up doors and opportunities for you. And if you're not getting the exact results that you want, that's great feedback. Let's figure out why, and let's see how we can even take our desire to another level.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm saying is that's to encourage you that there's probably even a little bit more that you could do spiritually, and then it's all going to open up for you quick.
I love this. I love it so much. And something I think about too, as you're saying this, and I know her and I know all that she manages, is I'm thinking of distractions. I'm thinking we have a business that has a lot of different facets, and then you have distractions from people and technology and all the things. And I'm curious for you, Craig, how you stay when there is something that you desire so much and you want to make this connection and you want to channel this and you want to be a vessel for people. How do you stay focused on that with all the people emailing you and all of the opportunities that you have? How do you stay on track with the thing for her speaking for you, whatever that is now?
So you have to understand, in life, if you have more than one really, really strong desire, you tend to dilute them. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's break it down. Let's think about like an open relationship. And I want to be very responsible and transparent. I have nothing against anybody that's an open relationship. But if we just break it down, let's just say you have a desire for this person. But then all of a sudden, you might have a desire for this person. And maybe not so much. Let me stick with him or her. Now you all of a sudden have a desire for this person. And let me just stick with her. You're diluting the main desire with your partner or spouse. That's just inevitable, right? So it's the same thing with business. You know, as you continue to evolve and expand, you can delegate and you can have multiple businesses and stuff like that. But when you want to get something up and running, you have to have very focused energy. And if you have different desires, it's diluting it from the main one.
Okay. I love that. I think that applies to so many things.
It's just like your energy, right? When you're managing so many things, of course you're not going to have the energy you want. But when that energy is on that one thing, it's a law. Mm-hmm. The energy you're putting in, it's going to transform.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I want to talk about your marathons. This is a hard left, but not really, because I feel very spiritually connected when I'm running. When I'm outside, I'm running a marathon in all 50 states. We've talked about it. We've geeked out about running before. But I want to talk about your experience when you're physical, when you're out, when you're pushing your body, because a big part of our business is encouraging, motivating, inspiring people to move. We know the benefits physically and with your mental health. I'm curious for you, with these marathons you've run and how you challenge yourself physically, how that helps you in other aspects of your life as well.
To be honest with you, I do some of my best connecting while I'm running. But like people often say, like meditation and stuff like that. I mean, to each their own, whatever works. I personally, at this season of life, for me, like trying to meditate like in the corner of my place is a little boring, but my running is my moving meditation. That's when I do my best connecting, my best downloads. There's no distractions. I have total peace. So it's almost like if you wanted to facilitate, for me, and it sounds like for you, if you wanted to facilitate more divine inspiration and more unbelievable downloads that change everything, you know, for me, it's better that I run more often and specifically long runs. And so to be honest, we have the half marathon this weekend. Which, you know, half is a nice distance. To be honest with you, I'm not as trained. This is probably the least trained I've ever been for a scheduled race. I run 5 days a week, but I haven't necessarily been training because I'm flying and doing, because I
You'll
don't
be
want to dilute
fine.
the desires.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, long-winded answer. But for me, running is when I do my best connecting and my best downloads and so forth. I imagine other people have different ways, whatever works for you. But if you ask me personally, yeah, for sure. There's something special and different that happens when I'm running.
Yeah, I try to collect those thoughts and downloads. I'm curious how you do because I'll send Brooke like a Snapchat. She's like, we got to write this down somehow. I'm like, I know, I'm sending you a Snapchat. I have this thought for business. I'm like running on a country road, trying not to run into a car, a cow, whatever's out there. But collecting those thoughts, how do you, when you have these downloads when you're running, are you typing them into a notepad? Like, or are you
Yeah,
just trying to remember them?
100%. So this morning, this happened to me. I was listening to an unbelievable podcast, and it was so magical and divine. I had to keep stopping, where it was like interrupting my run and in a bit of a rush because I'm flying to California tonight. So then I just let it rock, and I would pause it while I'm running, and I would actually send myself voice notes. And when I get home, you know, or I'm at the airport tonight, I can, you know, transfer that to a notepad, whatever the case would be, so I have the notes. But that's one of the, I don't know, devil's advocates of listening to something so inspirational while you're running, is because you don't want to lose it. You want to take notes of it. But I think it's a good problem to have.
Yeah. So that beautiful thing behind you, I think it's the reinvention formula. Beautiful book. Is that a download that you had, or I want to know the story of how that came into the universe.
Yeah. So I mentioned earlier about the 10-lane highway. For me, that was just something I created when I was going to step into a whole new arena. And I didn't want to rely upon one thing. I don't think anybody should. And I wanted to make an impact in ways that the world quite hasn't seen yet. And so when I thought of 10 lanes, I thought of like coaching, speaking, community, podcast, book deal, TED Talk, and so forth. And so the book deal was always one of the lanes. For me personally, I didn't want to self-publish my first book. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I just, for me, when I thought of like a book deal, I pictured like a movie coming out backed by a big studio, as opposed to maybe an independent film. It just gave me a little bit level of confidence and credibility. And so I put that out there, and I divorced from the outcome. And I just started building and compounding and working and divine timing. And then Wiley, our publisher, came to us, kind of coming off the success of Ed Mylett's book, and they were looking for the next star, whatever the case may be. And they approached me, and it felt like good timing. And so I renegotiated a really big book deal. They said yes. And then they gave me a very tight turnaround, like, we'll agree to this, but we want this book done, you know, at the time it was probably like 3 months or maybe 4 months. And so I made a system for myself. I think, you know, systems and practices are key because you won't always be motivated. So I'll never forget, December 2022, I woke up every day at maybe 4:30, which is a little bit earlier than usual for me. The world's pitch black. And I would write for about an hour, hour and a half, and just let it flow. And I made one promise to myself, I would never reread it. I would just let it rock. And so after 30, 31 days, about 1500 words a day, I wrote 50,000 words or more, and the book took care of itself. I just kind of channeled it because I created that system, and it ended up being, at the time, you know, perfect. Like, I wouldn't have changed a thing. And it was awesome. Hit Wall Street Journal bestseller, USA Today, and I'm really proud of it. And that's everything I know to be true up until a couple of years ago. So writing the book was actually kind of the easy part. Spreading the message, promoting it, talking about it, all that stuff, that's like a full-time job in itself.
Yeah. I'm thinking about all that you manage now. Like you said, you're flying, you're going on podcasts, you've got your book, you're promoting, you're on stages, you're engaged, planning a wedding. You know, you have a lot going on. You've got a puppy. So thinking of all of these things and staying on fire, right? Like staying as your best self, staying channeled, staying connected, staying rested, like I want to know some of the practices you have to keep that vibration up so that you don't burn out, especially where you live and all of your connections that you have.
So my morning routine is 2 hours, non-negotiable. And it's not like I do 75,000, you know, 432 things like you see on social media, all the cold plunges, all that stuff. It's just that I wake up a little bit earlier so that I can take that time and I don't have to rush it. And most of the 2 hours is personal development, just charging up. Because over the course of the day, I'm coaching people, high-level people. I have my group calls, podcasts, speaking engagements, all the things. And And a lot of people rely upon me to channel and to help them reveal their light and so forth. And I love that. But it's very important to me at the beginning of the day to do a ton of personal development, whatever I'm into at the moment, and really charge up. Picture like a phone. Like if you're going to be a long day, you want the thing to be at 100%, right? So my morning routine, 2 hours, doing a lot of personal development, charging up, getting ready for the day. And then I love this stuff so much, I could do this all day. And at the end of the day, like I'm tired, but it's more of like an accomplished tired. Like, wow, what a great day. Can't wait to do it tomorrow. Whereas on Wall Street, when I was out of alignment and I was a gladiator in the wrong arena, at the end of the day, I'd be depleted because I'm like, shit, I gotta do this again. Big difference between being depleted and being tired. So again, long-winded answer, I love this stuff, but I charge up and my 2-hour morning routine, personal development, non-negotiable.
So what are you doing in these 2 hours? When you say personal development, what does that really look like? Is it reading? Is it meditating? Is it running? You know, for the people who are like, damn, I got to get a morning routine. I'm just tapping into personal development. What does yours look like that could inspire some other people?
So I think we should break down the why this is so important.
Yeah.
Most people have negative thoughts over the course of the day, a really big percentage of negative thoughts compared to positive ones. So if you don't set the tone or have an intention, those are going to plague you and destroy you. And I've been a victim of that, right? And then I realized that there's a different choice, a different movie, a different narrative. And so you just want to be proactive and not reactive. So all this happens before I work out. And I work out 7 days a week. So I'll wake up, I'll go over my to conquer list for the day, have a nice cup of coffee. Then I'll do a little praying / meditating, more of praying and connecting. And then I'm reading or I'm consuming a podcast or whatever I'm into at the moment. Right now I'm reading a book and I'll read that for about an hour, take some notes. Then I'll get ready for workout. And this is all done and conquered before most people even wake up. And then I'm ready to hit the ground running. So that's basically what it is. Love the morning coffee, the conquer list, set the tone, be intentional and charge myself up, whatever it is I'm into at any given time.
I love that. And I love the words that you use. I can tell that you are intentional about the words that you use. Like you're a gladiator in a
conquer
specific
list.
You're conquer, you're on fire. And it is so powerful how we talk to ourselves, the words that we use, even when we're just describing what we're doing, that it's charged, right? I can feel that with you. And so as you're going through your day, say you're about to jump on like a coaching call, you're about to get on a podcast, do you feel like that morning routine is what has you charged all day? Or are there little practices you also have throughout the day too to keep your vibration up?
You know, this is probably the best answer I can give. And this is the honest truth. I love this stuff so much. Like this call, this conversation on your lady's podcast has me jazzed. And then after this, I have a meeting in person with a coaching call, but this person's in town. So this call is setting the tone and getting me jazzed for that meeting.
Got it.
And then that's going to get me jazzed for the next thing because I love this stuff. Sometimes I'll even schedule a coaching call one-on-one because we really go deep on those before a speaking engagement because I know after that, I'm going to be even more jazzed. So I don't really have to do things during the day because all the activities that I'm doing really fire me up. I love these. But the morning routine, very pivotal for me. I want everybody to choose what works for them. Mm-hmm. You know, take the fruit, leave the peel. But for me, getting charged up to start the day, it lasts all day for me because the stuff in between is stuff that I genuinely love to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one something you talk about too are gifts, right? And it's so clear that you are using your gifts and they are energizing you and they are allowing you to be on fire. I'm curious when you first discovered these were your gifts.
A few years ago when I started CLS, when I had all that divine inspiration, spoke to the creator and this and that. And, you know, like I said, I've been obsessed with personal development. Mm-hmm. When I was going to lean into CLS, I'm like, well, what am I good at? And humbly, I could communicate pretty effectively. And that was really all I needed. And then the more work that I did on myself, the more I realized that these gifts that were given to me, which are not mine, if I don't use them, like I'll lose them. And genuinely, like I believe that if anyone listening, if you don't identify what your gifts are and utilize them to make a difference and reveal light, then your soul will be in exile. And the good news is as soon as you are able to identify the gifts, if it take you 35 years like it did me or however long it takes you, then all of a sudden your soul is being redeemed. And I know that sounds pretty deep, but we're here to utilize the gifts that were given to us because they're not ours. And so when I got really quiet, I started to understand that I can really influence people and encourage them and elevate them. And the more work I do on myself, the more knowledge and the wisdom I could tap into to help people tap into their own potential. So when I got really quiet, when I started this whole thing, is when I really started to understand what my gifts are and then channel them in a way to help others.
I love it. You're a living example of what the exile is. Like when you say that, and I've heard you talk about it on your podcast, it's being on Wall Street, sure, having money, having the success, but the way that you feel inside, you're depleted. Like you said, you don't have this fulfillment. You're not on fire throughout your day. So many people are walking around like that. And I feel it myself. With our business, I love our mission. I love everything we're doing. But once we get distracted or we're not going down the avenue that we're like, oh, let's get back to here, we can feel it. We can feel like, okay, this doesn't feel as on fire as this does. And so I'm so happy you wrote your book so that people have this formula of how, you know, someone that walked this walk now goes through his day on fire because you're in alignment. You know what you want. You're going for it. You're following your purpose. It's so powerful. I'm so happy that you wrote this book. And I want to talk about too how for you, you keep talking about a couple years ago. This is a couple years. This is a short period of time. And I think a lot of people can fixate on the timing. Like this needs to happen fast. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't see the results yet. And I know they're, you know, that's you focusing on the outcome, but I would love for you to talk about why you think this happened so quickly for you and how you kind of talk people through that timing when they're kind of expecting things to happen fast or they really want it to happen fast.
Dre, tell the people as fast as you can why Move with Gold Ivy is the last mind-body fitness program they'll ever have to buy and how women are finally getting the transformation they're looking for.
I love a challenge. Let's go. Two big things. One, Move provides a fun atmosphere to work out in that actually gets you excited to show up and follow through with your goals. Not only is there an element of fun, but we've carefully curated a program that makes it as easy as possible for women to take care of themselves. And two, a Move membership addresses every aspect of your health, mind and body. Our Move members are getting the physical transformation they've been hoping for and feeling like they've finally found the group that motivates them on a daily basis. What did I miss?
As a Move member, you receive a weekly workout plan, weekly live or Zoom workouts, an on-demand workout library, transformational quarterly reset challenges, monthly coaching calls, monthly masterminds with health experts, and a private group of motivated members for support and accountability.
It's ready for you when you're ready to boost your metabolism, confidence, and feel your absolute best. Join Move or learn more by clicking the link in the show notes, clicking the link in our bio on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, or by messaging us on any social channel at Gold Ivy Health Co.
It's your time. Move for your health. Move for your confidence. Move for your mental clarity. Move with Gold Ivy.
I think it's really important for everyone to realize that if you're looking for instant gratification, you're operating out of the 1% reality, and none of that will be sustainable. If you get it, you'll find a way to sabotage it. I mean, look at the history of lottery winners, right? They didn't necessarily earn that. All of a sudden, they're bankrupt or something bad happens and they're probably in a worse spot before they won the lottery. So why is that? It's because they didn't earn it. So in Kabbalah or spirituality, whatever it is that you practice, we talk a lot about having to earn stuff, right? And you want to go through, you want to have the long game mentality. You want to do it with the right consciousness. You want to have that desire. If you're looking for a quick fix, like to go viral or for it to happen overnight, you'll never get it. And if you do get it, if you are fortunate enough to get it, it won't be sustainable or you'll find a way to sabotage it. So it really comes down to which consciousness are you operating from? Are you connected to the light or are you disconnected and just doing things for you, for ego, for self, and so forth? And then also, once you tap into that consciousness and you're connected, I say play the long game, but as you can see, again, very humbly, things can happen very fast. When you're in alignment, your desire is activated, the creator will open up doors for you that you never saw coming. That's why, you know, people sometimes say you don't have to worry about the how. And look, I was really in my masculine for years, hardest worker in the room, grind, all that stuff. And to be clear, there is a season for that, for sure, specifically when you're starting something up. But really, that can only take you so far. When you're really connected, doors will open. You don't have to worry. Like even like for this call, like for this podcast, I didn't have any idea of what I want to talk about. I just wanted to channel. I know the creator is going to come through me 2 seconds before I need to say it, whatever it is that you ladies or your audience needs to hear. So if you're connected and you're doing it with the right consciousness, doors will open up and things will happen quickly. And if they're not happening quickly, then that's great feedback as to maybe you're not connected or you're not operating from the right consciousness.
Yeah. So for people who get the reinvention formula, what are you hoping they get from reading the book?
I think that there's very alarming stats out there, to my knowledge, that most people are unsatisfied with their life, their career, and all that stuff. And the good news is I could really relate to that. I spent a very good amount of time unfulfilled, lacking purpose, straight up miserable. Wasn't like I was diagnosed with depression, but in my head, I was depressed. I was anxious about the future, depressed about the past. I was nowhere in the present. And then I realized that I had a choice and I could choose a different narrative. I could change the next scene in my movie. I could even change the cast of characters, the geographical location. The pen is in my hand, essentially. And once I started understanding this and started kind of unplugging myself from the matrix, that's when everything happened quick. And I got into alignment. I received downloads, my spirituality, fiance, the career, the money, all this stuff. And so the bottom line is it's never too late to start. And reinventing is not starting over. I think there's a misconception. It can feel a little bit intimidating. Oh, reinventing myself at 70. No, you're taking all the lessons that you learned. You're applying them to future endeavors. But maybe most importantly, the deepest thing I could say is reinvention is really the journey back to thyself. It's finally arriving at you. Forget about everything that you need to add. It's letting go of trying to be something you're not and being able to create that connection, channel your gifts and make a massive difference and unapologetically making a lot of money doing so. And so inside the book, it's not just a memoir about me. Yes, I tell my story a little bit to give context, but it's 15 years of personal development from everywhere, from law of attraction, NLP, Kabbalah, you name it, in one vessel. So I love to say, like, this isn't like a niche book. It's for anybody that wants to grow, expand, remove limiting beliefs, get over fear, remove imposter syndrome, and do really big, epic things.
Woo! Gosh, I'm excited. That's wonderful. I'm so happy that you listened to that voice, that you shedded what you needed to shed, right? That you did everything that you're talking about and you're giving advice on. The best person to hear it from is someone that's done it themselves and is living it. And like you said, whatever I'm into now, like, you are a shifting, evolving person and you're going to keep using those lessons, which is so beautiful. So get this book, Reinvention Formula, Craig Siegel. And where can they find you if they want to follow you? They want more of this on a daily basis. Where can they find you?
Yeah. Anywhere on social media at Craig Siegel _ CLS. Come say hello. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, CLS Experience. Anywhere you buy books, the Reinvention Formula. And if you like this type of stuff and free inspirational spiritual nuggets, business advice throughout the week, you could join our texting community by texting 917-634-3796. And just text the word Gold Ivy Health so I know that you heard it here.
Awesome. Gosh. We'll put it on the show notes. I'm so happy for everybody that's listening. Like, what a gift you are. It is just beautiful. You're so powerful. I know why everybody wants you on their stages, and I can't wait to keep watching you.
Love you ladies too. And I'm big fans of yours. And I know for certain that you guys are just getting warmed up.
We yes. are. And you are helping keep this fire lit. So like Andrea said, thank you for being you. We can't wait to watch what happens. And he was also in Vegas last week. We could have met up, but I know we'll have more opportunities and I can't wait. Craig, we leave our listeners with 3 gold stars, 3 takeaways, top tips that you have. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
Whatever limiting beliefs that you have, ask yourself if they're really true. And I think that once you have the realization, you realize that they're not. You could choose a different belief. The second one is you are absolutely here for a gigantic reason. You are valued. And the third one would be, why not you?
Ooh, I love that.
Why not you?
All right, next up is Unleashing Ivy. These are just questions Brooke and I are curious about that we haven't asked you yet. Whew. My question is, what is recently, you know, since you've had some success, since you've been on stages, since all of this is going on, it's real juicy, things are going well, what's a limiting belief that you still kind of struggle with or you feel like I'm currently really trying to overcome or I just overcame it?
One of the things that's been challenging for me over the last few years has been hiring, if I'm being vulnerable and authentic and honest. We're growing really fast and I'm also a recovering perfectionist. So I'm learning how to delegate better and we're scaling and I need to be able to delegate and hire the right people around me. And in the beginning, I was hiring more for potential good people that I thought I could mold, while as now I'm being more intentional and hiring experts in what they do that also have great character. And I guess a limiting belief would be is don't settle. The right people are there. You'll surround yourself with the right family and grow this thing to be even bigger and so forth. So I guess that's something I'm working through.
That's exciting that you are scaling, that you do need help, and you can give your energy to the things you want to focus on because you have the help. That's huge. Yeah. All right. My question is for your coaching clients. You've referred to them, people who coach with you kind of leave with like a drunken experience. They feel high, intoxicated. And I'm curious why you think that is.
Well, I know why. It's because we do a really, really deep dive and we talk about the good stuff, the stuff that actually moves the needle, which is the stuff we talked about here today, which is identifying why we're here, our soul's purpose, our gifts, how to channel them, how to help others, how to overcome the opponent with the ego, Satan, whatever you want to call them. Every single opportunity that we have every day to overcome the opponent creates more or reveals more light for ourselves in the world, meaning more abundance, manifestations. And all the stuff that we're talking about is a higher consciousness. It's the good stuff. I think it's more important than strategies and tactics, although those have a place and are important as well. But everything that we're doing helps us create a thicker and stronger connection to the creator. And it allows us to go higher, right? And as I like to say, if you want to go higher, you got to go deeper. And so the closer that we get to our relationship with the creator, it's only natural that you feel really, really, really good. And when you do this for a living and you work on yourself, you don't need to do like all these retreats and ayahuasca and stuff like this. I'm not saying those are bad. Whoever does is good for you. But that those shouldn't have to be an escape. If you're working on your relationship, tapping into higher consciousness every single day, those might be a treat. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So this is a lifetime transformation. And then people really start to understand that those limiting beliefs are not real and that they do have gifts and they figure out how to channel them and help others. And then in return, reveal more of their own light doing so without an agenda, meaning the money, the relationships, the abundance and all that stuff. So I think because this stuff is so juicy and it's really the stuff that makes a difference in my personal opinion, it kind of creates like a mystical like relationship mm-hmm. with myself and my clients.
I love that. Ooh, exciting. Yeah. And if you want to coach with Craig, I can't imagine how much it costs because you're a wanted man, but message Craig, tap into these gifts. So powerful. I also want to like just sit and listen to these coaching calls. I just wonder what comes to people when they're tapping into these
gifts. Yeah. And how many people are walking around like, what are my gifts? What does make me feel aligned? And having the opportunity and the gift to sit with you, these aha moments are, I can only imagine.
They're everything.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, Craig, last question. If you could go back to younger Craig, tell him something, what age would he be and what would you tell him?
I guess I would go back to maybe 4 years ago, right before I put this all together and I was really down. And I would say, don't worry. It's not even your story. It's everyone else's story that you can help inspire. And you're right on track and keep doing the thing. Because I got a little dejected a few years back and I started to second guess my purpose and all that stuff. But I didn't stay there long. So I wouldn't change a thing on my journey, but I would want that version of Craig to know that he's right around the corner from a gigantic transformation. He's going to do a lot of good in the world.
Yeah. It's tough to know when you're in it, right? It's tough to know and keep going, but I'm so grateful that you did, right? It could have gone a very different direction and you were helping so many people.
Well, and the reason that it's quick is because of how many people you've impacted and how genuine of a human you are. We've only experienced and been able to sit with you for a short time, but we feel that so deeply. And it makes sense why you and your brand have skyrocketed, because it's not about you and your brand. It's about these conversations and everyone that you're touching.
That was beautiful. I received that. Thank you. And I wanted to add one more thing. Mm-hmm. I would tell a much younger Craig this, mm-hmm. that you should absolutely, to the best of your ability, seek out mentors or coaches or anybody that can guide you anywhere you want to improve, whether it's sports, business, mindset, spirituality, anything. Because I have an ego. We all have an ego, but mine used to dominate me. And I used to think like, I could figure this out myself and so forth. The reality is we don't have time. Right? We should have a sense of urgency. And nowadays I look for a coach or a mentor in anything that I want to improve upon, literally anything, because I know that's like a cheat code. It's a time machine. Mm-hmm. So I would just encourage anybody listening, going to events, listening to podcasts, reading a book, it's all great. It will definitely open your mind. But if you have the means, do what you can to lock arms and really go deep with somebody, because I think that's where the most powerful transformations lie.
Absolutely. I always think like we weren't meant to do this alone, area of life, right? We're better together, whether it is listening to a podcast or reading a book, but that one-on-one connection and time together, it could save you years.
And I live for these conversations. Like this last, however long this was, 47 minutes went by in a flash. And so I'm so grateful for you. I'm so happy we're giving people access to you. I can't wait to listen to more of your podcasts. Reinvention Formula, get it. All that you're going to keep creating with this service heart. So grateful. Thank you so much for your time, Craig. We are so happy that you're part of our platform, that you exist. And we're going to come find you to hear you speak on stage. I want to sit in the audience too and just have you speak at me for an hour. So powerful.
Thank you, ladies, so much for everything that you said. I received all of it. And thank you for having me, genuinely.
Absolutely. And we leave our listeners with a piece of gold, a quote that speaks to you. Would you please share yours?
Playing small is canceled.
This is Gold Ivy signing off.
Listen to your truth and go chase your gold.
We want to thank you and encourage you to celebrate yourself for taking the time to learn and get inspired in your one beautiful life. And if this podcast means something to you, it would mean so much to us if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to help support our mission to keep bringing you inspiring stories and guests.
First, following the podcast is important because it helps you never miss an episode. To do this, just go to the Ivy Unleashed podcast show page on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And then just tap the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner or click on follow.
While you're there, if you'd be so kind to give us a 5-star rating and review and share your favorite episode with a friend, we'd be so grateful for your support.
We are thrilled you're here and are so happy that you're taking time to prioritize your wellness, self-discovery, and growth with us.